My family and I have walked and hiked many paths and trails. Now, by where we live in Auburn, we have lots of nice trails to walk on. There's a little trail less than a mile from our home. It's called the Canyon View Trail. And on that trail, it's about a mile loop. You can see the Sierra Nevada, and right now it's especially beautiful because you see all the snow-capped peaks. You can look down into the American River Canyon, so it's very beautiful. And also we like to walk on the down to the North Fork of the American River, and it's very beautiful down there. We like to go with our little Aussie Shepherd, Josie, so she really enjoys it to go and walks with us. Also, with my family, we've walked the Freedom Trail in Boston. I don't know if any of you have had the opportunity to walk that, but it's very inspiring. It talks about you'll see many sites that refer to the history of our nation. Also, we've walked on the PCT, which is the Pacific Crest Trail, and it mostly we've walked on segments in the Central Sierra. And if you ever go up Interstate 80 past Boreal, right before you get to Donner Summit, you'll see the trail trail crosses up there on the summit. And it's very beautiful up there if you ever get the chance to walk on that trail. And also, we've walked in many of the great cities of the world. We like to take the subway or the tube, as they call it in London, or public transportation, and we get to walk a lot. You know, Joe talked about having an app on the phone, and you can record how many steps you walk in a day. And also that translates into miles. And many of the cities like Paris or New York, where the subway system is, they have a good subway system, but it's not really extensive. You still need to walk a lot. And we would walk up to 10 miles a day. And you get a different feel of cities if you walk them. You know, a lot of people go on the tour buses and or drive through it, and you don't really get the feel of the city that way. And of course, locally, San Francisco, a very beautiful city to walk in. We've been in Philadelphia, and very historic city, Brussels and Amsterdam, D.C., and we've really enjoyed our time spent there. And in most of these large cities, you need to be vigilant because, you know, there's crime and things, so you need to be aware of your surroundings. And as Paul said in Ephesians, see then that you walk carefully, not as fools, but as wise. So we have to be careful, and he's talking about our spiritual lives, that we need to be careful. I remember in Paris, someone yelling out in a crowded subway car, watch out for pickpockets. So we were kind of warned of that. And it's here you are in a beautiful city, and you have to worry about things like that. So it kind of brings you down a little bit. Or on the tube in London, which I got to visit my son Joe and Crystal in London. And you would hear on the intercom, mind the gap. And you think, what is that, mind the gap? Well, it's the distance between the train and the platform, the station. So you would have to be careful sometimes, especially if the train is moving. You can get your foot caught in that little area. And I also heard on the flight over to London, I was talking, next to me was a native Londoner, and she asked me, where was I going in London? And I told her my son had an apartment in Stratford. And she said, oh, be careful in Stratford. It's a dangerous area. And but, of course, it wasn't. It had that reputation. But because of the Olympic Games that came, I think it was in 2008, they had rebuilt that entire area, and it's very safe. And also in many of the cities that we visited, unfortunately, they were victims of terrorist attacks. Now, in Paris, as you remember, they had the shooting in the theater that killed, I think, approximately 100 people. Also in Nice, a city we just visited briefly not too long ago, they had a truck that ran down, I think it was approximately 80 people. So you have to be careful where you go. You have to be vigilant and heed the words of what Paul spoke of. We need to be careful where we walk and how we walk. So what does God say about the way we walk? Well, I'll just quote you Jeremiah 10. You don't need to turn there, but Jeremiah 10:23 says, Lord, I know that people's lives are not their own. It is not for them to direct their steps. So we need God's help to direct us in life. You know, we can't do it on our own, and we need to ask for that help. Now, in Scripture, the word walk is translated from the Hebrew word halak, which is spelled H-A-L-A-K, which is translated to walk. So, and mainly for my split sermon today, it's used in a figuratively manner or as a metaphor to describe the way we should live. It is symbolic of the paths in life that we choose. So God uses this this metaphor often in Scripture. Another Scripture you don't need to turn to, but I'll just refer to it. Psalms 119, verse 35 says, direct me in the paths of your commands, for there I find delight. So David realized the way that he should walk. And also Solomon said in the Proverbs 4:18, the path of righteousness is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. So it's important how we walk. Without God, we would walk aimlessly through life. You know, we wouldn't have his guidance through his Spirit. Instead of having a relationship with God, we would be wrapped up in this world's cultures or politics or materialism. And we know that that really leads nowhere, does it? It's all futile. Now let's turn to Jeremiah 6, where we'll learn a little more about what God says about the way we should walk. Jeremiah 6:16. Where Jeremiah says, thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. And it's kind of something that not only he had to deal with, but what God's people have to deal with today when we preach God's word. People are not excited about God's way or walking in it. They want the edited version of Scripture. And sadly, people don't want to be told how they should walk, because the Christian walk is just too challenging, it seems. You know, brother, in our Christian journey, our walk is not a sprint. It is a marathon. And a marathon If you're familiar, it's over 26 miles, and it's pretty challenging. Now I'd like to relate to you a story of a young man who hiked the equivalent of a marathon a day for 300 days. Now, I don't know if you can imagine that. It's hard for me to imagine. But it was an article in our local paper, the Auburn Journal, January 6, 2017. And the headline was, "Crowning Achievement, Hiker Jeff Garmeyer Shares Triple Crown Adventure." And going on with the story, he said, the story goes, he dodged a moose, he was awakened by a bat colony, made a couple of wrong turns in the snow, reported bear sightings, and dined on dehydrated spaghetti. So I think my son, who's talking about going to Mount Whitney, they might carry some of that in their backpack, which is doesn't sound too pleasant, but I guess when you're hungry. Jeff Garmeyer is 26 years old, is a Triple Crown hiker in 2016. Now, what is the Triple Crown of hiking? Well, he trekked the Appalachian Trail, which is over 2,100 miles, the Pacific Crest Trail, which is over 2,600 miles, and the Continental Divide Trail, which is 3,100 miles. From February to October, Jeff hiked 7,700 miles and is just the fifth person to accomplish this prestigious Triple Crown of hiking in just one calendar year. Now, to give you a perspective of how far that is, the Appalachian Trail, I'll just give you the states you need to walk through to complete the Appalachian Trail. You would start in the southern portion. It goes north-south. You'd start in Georgia. You'd cross into North Carolina, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Maryland, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, New York, Connecticut, Massachusetts, Vermont, New Hampshire, and Maine. And, well, that'd be quite an accomplishment just doing that, wouldn't it? But not only, he didn't stop there, he went to the Pacific Crest Trail, which starts at the border with Mexico and goes the entire length of the state of California, goes through the entire length of Oregon, and then you go through Washington and end near the Canadian border. Okay, and then after that, the Continental Divide Trail, which starts near the Mexican border in New Mexico. You go through New Mexico, Colorado, Wyoming, parts of Idaho, and end in Montana. Now, he did this all in 1 year, which is seems almost impossible, in over 7,700 miles. So that was quite an achievement. Now, personally, my family and I have hiked portions. I've talked about the Pacific Crest Trail. And let me tell you, it's difficult, especially when you take into account altitude, because most of the Pacific Crest Trail is above 5,000 feet. And one time on that trail, you know, you have to be careful. We had to almost step on a rattlesnake. My little Aussie Shepherd, who was in front of us, stopped, and I kind of looked to see what she was looking at in the trail, and it was a rattlesnake crossing the trail. But regardless of all the struggles that you would need to encounter in the High Sierra to walk on these trails, the struggle is well worthwhile, because there's pristine alpine lakes surrounded by pine trees, and it all makes you deeply appreciate God's creation. Now let's talk about a difficult path or trail. Let's turn to Matthew 7. where Christ talks about the path that we're on, and as Christians, we need to conquer. And that's Matthew 7, starting in verse 13, where Christ says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it." But verse 14, "Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." So God's way is not easy. It is like a marathon. And so that's why so few choose to walk the walk that he's prescribed for us in Scripture. Someday, I think we will all have an opportunity to, hopefully, in God's kingdom, to speak to King David or the Apostle Paul or Job, and they may comment that life was sometimes like a marathon a day. And I know we, in our Bible reading that we have, we went through Job, and if you read the story of Job, boy, he had it tough. And I wouldn't wish that on anyone. But he made it through. But they will also say the narrow, difficult way was well worth the beautiful end results. So that's something I know that we can look forward to speaking with them. Now back to the story. Over the past 5 years, ultra hiker Jeff Garmeyer also hiked the Pacific Northwest Trail, which is a trail that connects the Pacific Crest Trail to the Continental Divide Trail, which starts in the Olympic National Forest near the coast of Washington and ends in Glacier National Park, Montana. That's about 1,200 miles. Also, he has hiked Colorado's 14ers. Now, that's defined as 58 mountain peaks, all above 14,000 feet. Now, my son talked about he wants to, with his brother, climb Mount Whitney, which is the highest peak in the continental United States. Well, Jeff has walked and hiked 58 14,000-foot mountains. And I think the highest mountain I've walked to was Mount Lassen, which is only 10,463 feet. So that's really not a big challenge, and the trail was only about a five-mile trip, round trip, so nothing in comparison. But just to show you how difficult that is, at 14,000 feet, the atmosphere is only 40% of that at sea level. So even though the percentage of oxygen is the same no matter how high you go, it's just a lot less of it. And the pressure's a lot less. Walking uphill at a very high elevation is very difficult. I don't know if you've ever tried that or how high you've hiked, but you'll be gasping for air after you get above 10,000 feet. Sometimes we have to go uphill in our Christian walk. Well, it seems that everyone else is going downhill. And I'm going to read a little bit about that in Genesis 6, about people going downhill. Let's turn to Genesis 6. And we'll begin in verse 5. Genesis 6, verse 5, "The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent and thought of their heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Eternal said, I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing, and birds in the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Eternal. Now this is a story also, Christ, if you remember, Christ said in Matthew 24, when he returns, it will be like it was in the day of Noah. So this is not just an ancient tale. It's something for us to hear and heed. Now verse 9. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations, or you could say defined as blameless or having integrity. And then finally in verse 9, Noah walked with God. So that's why he was spared. And brethren, that's the way we should walk. Now, it might be unpopular to say, but if you notice, it says he walked with God. Not the Pope, not Muhammad, not Marx, and not Darwin. So I know that that might cause a stir on many of the college campuses today, but these are the facts. And this is what our nation and the English-speaking people have tried to do for 400 years. But today it seems like that's coming to an end. So Noah lived in a world going downhill while he walked with God, going uphill towards his kingdom, just as we should. Now back to the story of Jeff Garmeyer. Jeff was asked, did you ever get lost? And he replied, a lot on the Appalachian Trail. The trails are marked pretty well. I took a couple of wrong turns in the snow. The Sierra Nevada had 200 miles covered in snow. No trail, just snow and ice, so I had to pick a notch on a peak and headed for that. It is good practice, mountaineering. You just use what you've seen. Now, brethren, sometimes we get lost on our walk to the kingdom, get lost in the storm of life. There's so many distractions. I know now, in the 21st century, we have so many electronic distractions. And it seems the trail is covered and impassable. Is it because we have forgotten God? And that, is that why we're lost? You know, we don't remember God and concentrate on the way we should walk. So pray always and ask God for help to find his path. And as when my son talked about Lot's wife, look forward and don't look back. And of course we know that God read her heart and knew that she looked back on Sodom longingly for that way of life, which she shouldn't have. But we all need to, as we've discussed, or Mr. Horchak has been discussing, follow God's lead. Now let's turn to Isaiah 30, where we'll talk some more about the way we should walk. And actually, this is a prophetic scripture. Isaiah 30 and verse 19, starting in verse 19. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. He will be very gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. So it's very encouraging that God hears our prayers. Now verse 20. And though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teacher will not be moved into a corner anymore, but your eyes shall see your teachers. Now verse 21, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. So this is prophetic of what will happen. The saints will assist people who have survived the tribulation on the way they should walk. And you could see that they're going to do it in a very gentle manner and instruct people, encourage them, and guide them on the way that they should walk. God will guide us on our journey through life if we ask and walk in his ways. And it's very simple, brethren. We need to have love for God and love for our neighbor. You know, it's not that difficult. Some people would try to make it difficult, but it's not that difficult. Now back to the story of Jeff. Jeff was asked if he used technology, such as GPS or map, to help him find his way on his 7,700-mile hike. He said, on the Pacific Crest Trail, Jeff said he had a map for a portion of it. And he also said, I had GPS map on my smartphone. So that technology does come in handy to find your way. Now, God has a map for all of us. And we need to follow it. And with God's help, we can never lose our way or lose our way on our path of life towards God's kingdom. Brethren, we know God's word is truth and life, and he gives us his Bible, which we all have and brought with us today. And Christ said we need to live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So it's very important that we study Scripture. And we know that Scripture is the inspired word of God, and that's in 2 Timothy 3:16. So we need to live by it and walk by it. Now let's turn to Psalms 37, where we can learn more about this, our Christian walk. Psalms 37 and verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Eternal, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, so sometimes we do fall and stumble and make mistakes and sin, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Eternal upholds him with his hand. So God is always there, with his hand outstretched. All we need to do is grab hold of that hand, and he will help us on our walk, our Christian walk. God will be with us every step of the way if we choose his path. And as a song by Rodgers and Hammerstein goes, you'll never walk alone. And God will always be with us if we rely and trust on him. Now, someday soon, all people will have a chance to know the paths of God, and we'll have the opportunity to teach them if it be God's will, and we pray that it is. And he will teach his ways to all who are willing to listen. So let's turn to the final scripture, Isaiah 2. And read about the new way that will be taught when Christ is king. Isaiah 2, and starting in verse 2, Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. Verse 3, many people shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us of his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. Now verse 5. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. So God is asking us to walk in his way so that we can take part in what's to come, the great and wonderful things that are in store for us in God's kingdom, where we will have an opportunity to teach all people to walk in God's way. Now, as Jeff Garmeyer experienced in his ultra hiking, life is like a marathon a day. We get lost, tired, and hungry, but at the end of the trail is the reward, the kingdom of God. If we walk in the paths of the Lord, we can be exalted above the hills and be with God on the tops of the mountains.